love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
It is wonderful to live in the United States of America. We have so many choices here. In politics, we can vote who we choose to. In going out for dinner, we can choose. We have such a large selection. And food is relatively reasonable, and next to the rest of the world, very reasonable. Buying a car, what color, what make, what type of upholstery. Even on a limited income, we still have choices. And we like that. What colors to wear? What kind of socks you like? Choices, choices, so many choices. Daily we make them. Some of the choices we make are very good choices. Whether we're buying something or in relationships, and some of the choices we make are very bad choices. But we do have the option. And God gives us that option too. We make choices moment by moment. To live or to die, to give life or to take life. In other words, to make other people happy and bring peace where we walk and talk, or to take from and create an atmosphere that's uncomfortable for others, that makes others feel rejected, not loved, unhappy, depressed. And we have been given that ability by God to make good choices, but we also have the option of making bad ones. But in following Jesus Christ in His kingdom, there are certain choices that He commands us to make if we will enter into all that He has for us. We can choose not to follow, or we can choose to follow. He is the truth and the life and the way. Reading from John 10th chapter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly." To follow Jesus, to go through the door, which he is, brings just the opposite of what the thief brings. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the Father comes, as Jesus leads us to the Father, to give us eternal life, to bless us, to restore us, to heal us. And there are no options. If we choose to make positive choices, we cannot play around with eternity. We cannot play around with our lives. "Once I was young and now I am old." And sometimes when you're very young, you don't realize, or we don't realize, the effect that we're going to have on our entire life by poor choices. And because we do like options, and because we do have options in our nation, we think that we can still go on making poor choices without paying the bill. And it's just like using credit cards. It's so easy. to use a credit card. Have you found it that way? It's like not real. It's almost like Monopoly money. Except we do not read the small print and find out what the interest payments are. Sometimes they're 20%, 22%, 27%, 28%. And you find yourself at a point where all you can do is pay the interest with no hope of paying the balance. And in a sense, you're in debtor's prison. It's so easy to make wrong choices when we have the option open to us as we do. But the benefits of following Jesus Christ, the benefits of coming through the door, which Jesus is the door to eternal life, the door to knowing the Father, in whom all goodness dwells. What a wonderful option that is. Are you tired of knocking and going through wrong doors? Some things in life seem so enticing, so pretty, so advantageous, so bright and shiny. When you walk through the door, you find out that you've only been deceived, whether it's a relationship. Maybe it was a job opportunity and it looks so wonderful. And then after you took the job, you found out that the stress was increased, hours were increased, salary wasn't. And you found yourself feeling used and abused. It wasn't what you thought it was. So whether it's a relationship, whether it's something we purchase, whether it's a job, deception seems to abound today. And it really causes us to say, Jesus, what are you saying in this situation? To be led by the Spirit of God, to be a son of God, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, to listen to His voice, His still small voice that wants to speak to us and lead us into all truth. Lead us into all truth in everyday life, in those choices that we make. Father wants to speak to us by the power of His Spirit. He doesn't want to see His children betrayed or abused or deceived. But I have to get past my own soul, my own desires, my own will, to listen to Father God. It's so easy to blame Him when things go wrong, and actually, it was myself, decisions I made, choices I made. I know I've heard different ones say, well, God led me to buy that car. And I might not say anything, but I'm thinking, did He? He would not encourage you to buy a car that you couldn't afford. He wouldn't encourage you to buy a home that you couldn't afford. But because our own desires drowned out the voice of God, we follow our own desires. But hopefully, we learn. And we say, oh, Father, what are you saying to me now? I want to go where you want me to go and do what you want me to do. Jesus is the door to eternal life, but He is the door to our future too. He is the door. He is the way. He is the way to the Father. And He makes a way where there is no way. He goes before us, and He wants to bring us into all truth, but I have to desire all truth. Sometimes we like to live in our own world of unreality. It's a comfortable world. You could be anybody you want to be in your own world. Self-deceived. But God wants to bring us into truth. All truth. And His word tells us that we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Do you want to be free? Do you want to come into reality? I know where the door is.
Thank you.
to keep holding on, to keep believing, to keep running the race, and to believe that God watches over his word to perform it, that his arm is not too short that it cannot save, and that his promises are yea and amen to all generations, and not go by feelings. Feelings go up and down. They're neither right nor wrong, but you can't depend upon feelings. We can go by what God's word tells us, what he says about us, that he's going to finish that work that he started within us. As we lean towards him, as we abide in the vine, as we choose to follow, as we choose to get up one more time and believe the Holy Spirit that he sent will lead us into all truth. And reading from John 14th chapter, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And as we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will quicken the Word to us in those dark, narrow places. In the natural seem hopeless. No opportunity. Nowhere to go. We feel lonely. We feel oppressed, confused. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And he will lead us into all truth. Not to despair by the circumstances of life. Circumstances are always changing. God is the only one who doesn't change. Things around us, people around us, organizations, they come and they go. But God never changes. When we have our hearts set in the wrong place, idols in our life, and they fall, they change, they're moody, and their finances go down, and we feel disappointed and betrayed because our heart was in the wrong place. And many times we don't realize it until we come against the circumstances where things change. Everything's going along for years, and all of a sudden, there it is. And we realize that which we trusted in is no more. A friend of mine once said that men used to worship idols of silver and gold, and now men worship their fears. So think about what you're afraid of and see if that's a high place in your life. God is calling us from a place of confusion, doubt, and unbelief into the faith rest life. Jesus is our rest. He is our peace. And the word tells us that every man's been given a measure of faith, and faith is believing in that which is not seen. We can't see it and we can't touch it, and yet we have a measure of it, and to act on that measure. The word also tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we read his word, as we believe God's word, our faith grows. We must mix the promises of God with our faith. Reading from Hebrews 4th chapter. "For as long then as that promise of resting in him pulls us on to God's goals for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We received the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though we're experiencing that state of resting, but not if we don't have faith, trusting and believing in a God who loves us." So simple yet so profound. The word tells us not to be surprised when fiery trials come into our life. That seems to be where our faith is really tested. What do we really believe? Reading from Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. "Today, please listen. Don't turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising, that time of wilderness testing. Even though they watched me work for 40 years, your ancestors refused to let me do it my way. Over and over, they tried my patience, and I was provoked, oh, so provoked. I said, they'll never keep their mind on God. They refused to walk down my road. Exasperated, I vowed, they'll never get where they're going, never be able to sit down and rest. So watch your step friends, make sure that no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as it's still God's today, keep watching each other on your toes so sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. If we can only keep our grip on the sure thing we started out with, we're in this with Christ for the long haul. The long haul is into eternity. That whole generation died out in the wilderness. They never made it over into the promised land. Even though God provided food for them, manna fresh from heaven every day, their shoes never wore out. His presence was there, cloud by day, fire by night. And yet there was still grumblings and mumblings in the camp. They never made it to the promised land. Fear and doubt kept them out. They were afraid of the giants and mumbling and complaining. And God wants to bring us to that land of promise. He wants us to trust Him, to overcome our fear, to overcome our complaining, to put our hand in His hand and know Him as a loving Father. Father is calling the Joshua generation to step over and take the land, to step over and take the promised land. Reading from the book of Joshua, first chapter. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Moses never entered the promised land. That generation did not enter the promised land. God is calling this generation to enter, to put aside unbelief, fear, and to trust Him, to walk into a new dimension of the presence of God. Moses is dead. Who is Moses in your life? Joshua looked to Moses. He was his friend, the one he loved, the one he looked to, his leader. Moses is dead. And the word tells us, let the dead bury the dead, but as for you, you come and follow me. And he calls each one of us, one by one, to follow him. Not even to look to another, but to answer the call ourselves. In that first chapter of Joshua, the Lord 3 times told him, be strong and be courageous. But he also told him to meditate on his word both day and night, and he would be prosperous. We know that the Lord has written his commandments on our heart. We need to read his word too. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. He will guide us into all truth, and our enemies will flee. As we take authority as God has given it to us, as we are obedient to the word of God, to the Spirit of God, bringing every thought under subjection to the tearing down of strongholds, putting on the new self, which is the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We can take the land covered with the armor of light, clothed in Jesus Christ, doing the works of the kingdom, empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with his courage, and strengthened by his might. Mary Winchell here. God loves you with an amazing love.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.